Now.
Sorry. Thank you.
Stepping on Mike's wire.
Pulling me a wire.
Good evening, Marcus. How are we doing?
Good evening, everybody. Imagine for a moment if you could recast a role in a different gender.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So
imagine for just a second if Judas was a girl.
Oh.
Judas was a girl. Judith.
And the, and the love triangle of Jesus, Judas, and Mary Magdalene was not Judas being jilted by Mary, but Judas having been jilted by Jesus.
Oh.
Oh.
Then all of a sudden everything makes sense. She's a woman scorned. Of course she fucking betrayed him. 12 pieces of silver? She'd have done it for nothing. The silver was only more shopping. So on Saturday night, I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar performed in Letterkenny by the Donegal Youth Musical Theatre Group.
Yeah.
Who for 2 years running now put on West End quality shows with nobody older than 21. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing show. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, sorry, I tell a lie. I think the oldest is 23 this year. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they set it in modern day kind of Syria. And they didn't stick to any of the traditional genders for any of the traditional roles. Like, so Simon Zelotes was a girl. The only place they actually held to the tradition was the... Oh, no, they didn't. Actually, one of the priests was a girl as well. So the Jesus was a boy, obviously, and Mary Magdalene was a girl. And then Judas, as I mentioned, was also a girl. She was fucking amazing. So she was.
Yeah.
Well.
But a great old show. And the guy that directs this, that puts this all together, Shamey, he's just 23. And he's just amazing the way he does stuff. So you probably don't know the song, but Could We Start Again, Please? Features Mary and Peter. When Jesus has been captured and Simon has already done his, and Peter has already denied him 3 times. And I don't think I ever really understood what that song was about until I saw the way Shamey staged it on Saturday night.
Go on.
Amazing.
Go on, Jesus. No.
Go Peter, on, Peter, come on, Peter.
Go on. You know you want it. No.
I've said I'm staying on my own.
Right, I'm sick of you.
So I was sitting beside the adjudicator for the AIMS, right? This is the big, amateur theatre awards in Ireland. And someone involved with the production, as they're walking past, going back to their own seat at the start of Act One, stopped and said, "That's the adjudicator beside you." In other words, don't be a dick. Large person, whoever you are. So I duly wasn't a dick, although Donna did have to remind me. She said, "Look, don't laugh at stuff that's not supposed to be funny." Sometimes when they do something like clever, I laugh.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just a thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of go, ha,
oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
Oh,
like.
Good. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. And like they had a car on the set. You could see the front hood of a car. Mm-hmm. And then one of the dance numbers featured the dancers pushing the car out and dancing around it. And I did one of those laughs. Oh, like that? No way.
Hosanna in the sky.
And then Donna goes, don't laugh at stuff that's not meant to laugh at, because the adjudicator might think that we don't get it. Okay. I see your point. Yeah. But there was a couple of... So a friend of mine was playing Annas, which those of you paying attention might remember was a part that I played. One of the high priests. And in the song where he's got the most to do, you have an option of going up an octave or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Owen, who's brilliant, went up an octave whenever he was presented with the opportunity. Like the second time he did it, where most people stay down, he went up. And I just went, yes! Like this. No doubt disrupting the... the adjudicator beside me. But that was fine. That was early in the show when I hadn't had many drinks. Then in the second act, when I'd had more, the pilot has a really, really tough song to sing, The Crucifixion. He's not the only one singing in it, but most of it is his. Right. It's a really tough song. I would never want to try and sing it. Yeah. But it finishes with him basically saying, "Listen, Jesus, I've tried every fucking which way to help you. Right. You won't let me. So go and fucking die, you bastard, if that's what you want." He doesn't use those words exactly.
Yeah.
But
I think you've broken a couple of laws there in the last sentence.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. But anyway, like the line that I'm thinking of is, don't let me stop your great ambition. Die if you want to, you ignorant, misguided puppet. Yeah. And it's really, really high and hard to sing. And Pilot in this show fucking nailed it. And when I heard it, without knowing I was going to, it was a nimbic response. It's like, yeah! Like this, and fucking gestured with my fist in front of me. And then Donna leans over and goes, you just scared the adjudicator. I went, oh no, maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Explain to me why there is an adjudicator.
For the AIMS Awards, I should have explained that better when I was passing through. AIMS is the Amateur Drama Awards for Ireland.
Entertainment, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So,
all right, he's not there to take care of all the Jews that murdered Jesus, the Son of God, at the end of it. No.
Afraid not. And they finished up with a great scene then where after Jesus died, all of the... I suppose you call them the Jews, were on like rafts on
crazy
the ocean.
Crazy wake. Yeah.
Basically fleeing, becoming refugees. Like, uh-huh. It was really good because you just went, oh my God, that kind of stuff is happening today. He made it current. And not just with the threesome, I mean, love triangle. So, yeah, it was very, very good. Very, very good. Taylor was in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she was magnificent. She always is. Taylor's just 14, like, she's been in more shows than I have.
Yeah.
And I'm like older than 14.
Yeah. So, like, they set it in Syria. So, did they have like beheadings of journalists or Russian airstrikes, or how did they kind of work that into it?
They had airstrikes, yes. No, there was no beheadings of journalists, sorry. And I'm assuming it was Syria because of the context, but it could have been any crap Flapistan. Really. But it was very good, very, very skillfully put together. Really, really good. And these kids are so bloody talented, like.
Yeah.
And they lost their Jesus about 2 weeks ago or a week to go. Mm-hmm. So the guy that played Jesus, he picked it up with like about 10 days rehearsal. Unbelievable. Like, we were talking to them all afterwards. It was good. They're amazing fucking people.
Yeah.
So they are. Like, that Judas girl she's like a young Leona Lewis. She's no idea how good she is, like.
Right.
So you'd be there, much like Simon Cowell was trying to tell Leona in the first season of The X Factor. I was saying to her how great she was, and she was going, oh, do you think? Oh, thanks. Really genuinely humble, like. Yeah. It's great. It's great to see it.
Cool. What'd you get up to, Mike? You on holidays or something, Mike?
Yeah,
I thought you might have been considering the amount of TV you saw this week.
Yeah, I got my NCT done.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Failed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
The you know the way we have this kind of scientific paradigm where there's cause and effect and stuff sort of usually makes sense in the world?
Mm.
When I went to get ready for my NCT. Mm-hmm. In the morning before, I checked all the lights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I got in, and your man, he got a couple of problems, one of which was, your headlights aren't working. I'm like, the fuck? So I didn't quite believe him. So I went out afterwards.
Should have gone to
Specs Heroes. With my little paper of shame.
Yeah.
And I flicked on the main headlights, and sure enough, not fucking working. I was like, you filthy Judas bastard. Yeah. and then I said, okay, I'll put that on the list to bring it up to the garage during the week or whatever, get everything fixed. The following morning, got up, went and turned on the car, and just for shits and giggles, I turned on the headlights. Fucking fine.
No way.
Yeah. There's no fucking reason for that.
Possibly a relay that's a bit stuck. Needs an old tap.
I'm invoking a supernatural cause. Some kind of higher power that said I wasn't meant to pass the NCT that day.
That's where blasphemy gets you, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
So what else did it fail on?
Repeal the ninth.
What else did it fail on?
A couple of bushings on the back.
Ah, right.
So that's well overdue after 14 years.
So. On the wear and tear, so yeah. Grant.
Yeah,
yeah. Grant, easy fix.
Could have been a lot worse, in fairness.
Mark, did you hear that podcast that you were talking about last year? My dad wrote a porno.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah. So HBO are adapting it.
They are not.
They are, yeah.
To see, what?
This podcast, for those that don't know, is about a guy called Jamie Morton. He's reading a chapter from Belinda Blinked, which is a series of adult novels written by his real-life dad under the nom de plume Rocky Flintstone. So he's there with two friends providing commentary. They've had over 100 million downloads.
Hmm.
100 million downloads.
Wow.
That's nearly as much as us.
I was just going to say, is that as many as us?
Not quite.
Month, yeah, yeah. Probably. No,
yeah, yeah. But yeah.
February was quiet for us. So.
Yeah. I thought you'd like that.
That's crazy.
So is it going to be a movie or a radio show? Or
what? I don't know. No. HBO, probably TV.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose they got to replace Game of Thrones with something.
That's so true. Mike, tell us about Instinct.
Instinct.
I can't believe you watched this, by the way. I lolled. I think I actually dipped into it when it first came out.
I was young. I needed the money.
I know, yeah. Yeah, go on. I won't say anymore.
Yeah. So, I just... you know the way you're kind of flicking around the satellite box?
Mm-hmm.
Vainly trying to find something that might be, you know, yeah. Just kill one of those dark hours in your day.
Yeah.
So it said ex-CIA guy with special set of skills gets drawn back into the life. And I was like, okay. And then...
So it's like another detective pair, isn't it?
Yes.
Detective with a civilian who's got a special set of skills.
That's right, yeah. It's a unique concept.
Yeah. This year.
Yeah.
It wasn't in 2016.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started watching it, and it turns out that he is basically a tweed coat-wearing dweeby professor of psychology who apparently was CIA-type dude back in the day, but he's left all that behind him. But then he basically runs out of ideas for his new book, which he's due to publish under a contract, and he decides to get back involved in psychological profiling or whatever it is he does, with the help of a sassy New York police detective girl thing, and it goes from there. It's quite impressive in the way that it gets steadily worse. From the opening credits onwards. Yeah, it's just a downward spiral, you know. If you think about something like what was that American Sherlock Holmes you guys really liked?
Elementary,
yeah. I think they're going for that vibe of kind of quirky and funny and lighthearted.
Right.
But they just completely failed to pull it off. It's awful.
So it stars Alan Cumming.
It does.
Do you remember where we
saw? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You have me there.
Circle of Friends.
Did he
the creepy guy with Mini Driver.
Oh, okay.
In Circle of Friends.
Right.
He was the guy with the shop.
Okay.
He was intent on marrying her.
Right, okay. he's still kind of creepy.
Well, I think we all know him as the campaign manager from The Good Wife.
Oh, yeah, we all do, yeah. Actually, I haven't seen it. So. What was I going to say? So you're not watching any more then?
Not a chance.
So you watched The Equalizer?
I did. Well, with the week that it was in it, with the old sequel
hitting
the big screens, I decided to kind of rejig my memory. Because I seem to remember being quite disappointed with it when it first came out. Because The Equalizer, that was one of those shows, you know, that I really enjoyed during my middle age in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Sorry, I just got in there before you fuckers did.
I just said 60.
Someone needs to say it, Gemma. Yeah.
I identified with him as a middle-aged man, you know. my memory was jogged, and I was still kind of disappointed with it. Largely because they avoided the whole central point of the Equalizer, which is the equalization that he does. You know, they like the point of the TV show was every week McCall gets a call and he goes out and he fixes stuff. Whereas in this, they didn't seem to be really particularly interested in his solving of problems. They're trying to set a mystery for us. Who is this guy?
Yeah.
And they spend, I don't know, an hour and a half trying to work up some sort of dramatic tension as to who could he be, what possibly be. And by the time he gets to it, like, yeah, okay, that really didn't work. Which is a shame, because like Denzel, he's like, if you can't get Tom Cruise in your movie, Denzel is normally a pretty good fucking bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poor man's Tom Cruise.
Yeah. But even Denzel, I don't think, got into it because, you know, I hate to say it, but he was a bit out of shape, bit of an old belly, bit of a big arse. You know, he didn't really. Go on, Mark.
He was a bit ducky.
They were trying to make him too cool as well. Mm. Like this business where he would start a timer before he started beating people up.
Yeah. What's the
Nobody does that. Yeah. Least of all, an out of shape 60 something. Like. Yeah.
But he's one of those guys, he just can't keep his nose out of it.
No.
He just can't, you know.
He had to be the big man.
Had to be the big man. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it seems like every day he comes across a problem. Like, I have never come across a problem like that. Never. Now, look, there's two of them in it. Right? There's him, and then there's, what's her name? Waterboard Girl from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How many murders has she come across? Like, she should have been waterboarded.
Totally, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never have I been on holidays and been in a hotel and someone been murdered in the room next to me. Yeah, yeah. You know?
Twice.
Or on a train when there's been a murder. Yeah. Or,
or the bus, or walking the park, going shopping.
Ah, stop. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, will we move on from that and talk about Equalizer 2.
That's entirely up to you, Steve. Compare and host and MC extraordinaire.
Yes, I think we should. It's a good segue. So we can compare and contrast. It's the same dude. You've already outlined who he is.
Yeah, he's lost a bit of weight this time around
and gotten a bit older.
Yeah, yeah,
like decades older in 4 years.
Yeah, it's hard to tell with modern makeup, you know.
Did you see this, Mark?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't mind seeing it, even though I had, like, Mike's, you know, whistle-stop review of The Equalizer 1 was very close to my fully comprehensive review of it when it came out.
I think I remember watching the first one and really enjoyed it.
Yep.
And despite my own misgivings, I think I enjoyed this one too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, Steve. Yeah.
No, it was kind of crap in places, but it was entertaining. I mean, the time flew.
Really? I found the pacing a big problem.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was really, really slow. I mean, that's probably 45 minutes before somebody gets shot, like, you know. Apart from the obligatory opening slaughter.
You know? Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah. Introduction, slaughter in a room.
Yeah. Switch to backstory.
Yes. Now you know the reason we're here.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I mean, it's contrived as BJ's, but I did like seeing there's a couple of characters in it. God, what's his name? Good old what's his name? I'll come back to him now in a second. From not El Chapo, the other one.
Narcos.
Narcos. Yeah.
Oberyn.
It's a Rocco or something like
Pablo
that.
Pedro Pascal. Pedro,
that's it.
There we go.
Pedro Pascal. Yeah. Nice one. Pablo. Better than I got anyway.
Yeah.
Denzel, and who else was in this that I saw? Bill Pullman. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Poor old Bill doesn't get much of a look in, really, does he?
Doesn't, no.
Yeah, he's more of a walk-on person.
Yeah.
Come on, Bill. Just look upset. That's great. That's great. You're the man.
I have a question.
Yes. Go on, Mark.
So, as you mentioned, Mike, in your very, very brief review of a film that I gave a fully comprehensive review some time ago, you mentioned that it took a long time to understand who Denzel Washington characters was in the first film.
Yep.
Has there been any kind of transition now? Are we looking like a Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker or something like that? Or is he still, has he gone back to his old ways of trying to mind his own business and die in a reasonable amount of time?
No, not really.
It's like they picked up where they finished off.
Yeah.
It's like the next day.
Yeah, it's like we didn't give you enough backstory in the first movie.
Yeah.
So we're going to give
we're going to do it again.
Yeah. But just in more excruciating detail.
Yeah. And we might loop it into a few scenes later on.
Like, yeah. One thing that particularly struck me as weak in this movie is the minor characters.
Ah, yeah. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
There's
two particular story arcs that just have no bearing on this movie. You know, they're basically, what's the expression, save the cat kind of thing.
Distraction.
To show you what a good guy he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see from the first time they bring each of these arcs in that they're not going to work. And yet they still stick with it and try and wrap them up at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
After everything that really happens in the movie is over. It's like, oh, let's get back to those guys. Yeah. Oh, isn't that nice? What a guy.
That bit was a bit saccharine.
There's no need for that in movies. You know, this is supposed to be R-rated.
Is it?
I assume so.
Okay.
It's the Equalizer, for fuck's sake.
It's funny because it didn't actually strike me as that. Hmm. Yeah. Maybe one scene or it. Yeah. But but it's, you know, it. I know it's by the numbers.
Yeah.
It's a numbers, by the numbers revenge flick, essentially. But let's show how nice he is during it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But it was a damn sight better than Mile 22.
Yes, there is that. Yeah.
You know.
I know it's kind of probably not the right thing to say, but there is an assault scene that I thought was absolutely fucking hilarious. Such was its brutality.
Is that the one with the trophy?
With one of his former colleagues?
Yes, yeah. She picks up a trophy at one stage. It's hilarious. Yeah.
I don't think it's mentioned either.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it was meant to be shocking and cruel. And oh my God, man's inhumanity to man.
But you're just like, oh God, that would have hurt.
Yeah. You know? Like, or what was it, Peter Griffin?
So usually it's, actually we're going to talk more about violence later, but usually it's just like punches and thrown up against the wall, and then you know someone throws someone over their hip and they land on a coffee table that smashes and all this. But there is a bit of that, but then they threw in these like heavy blunt objects, you know, and from both sides, you know. I was anyway,
death by pencil.
I did kind of laugh actually. Overall, but it didn't entertain you. You thought it was long and dragged. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Really, really poor pacing and poor development of the bad guys.
Actually, yeah, because I had no idea who they were for.
Yeah,
a long time. Yeah,
they don't even really appear as part of the movie until the very end, and by that point you don't care at this point, you know. It's the movie's nearly over.
You're back.
Yeah, I mean, by the time those guys sort of take center stage, there's so little of the movie left, you're thinking, well, you haven't given me enough time to grow to hate you and root for Denzel.
Yeah, come on, Denzel, wrap it up.
Yeah. Come on, time is money, people. And cinematically, something weird happens at the end.
Mm.
And I kind of liked it because it went all Silent Hill.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I can't understand why this happened.
Oh, yeah. I must talk to you about that.
The complete look and feel of the movie changed.
Yeah.
you know, it was great.
Yeah.
But why? usually there's some kind of...
I was
of,
about to ask you exactly that.
Usually there's some kind of sequence of events that, you know, there's an internal logic in a movie to get you to a place.
Yeah.
But it was almost like the director just said, wouldn't it be cool if we did Silent Hill for the finale? Yeah. You know? look great.
Yeah.
Oh, still a crap ending. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, there wasn't an inch of fucking tension, you know. You knew exactly what was going to happen from the second they entered that arena.
Oh, yeah, you're sitting there ticking boxes on your clipboard, you know. Yep. Yeah.
He's gone.
He's gone. Yep. Next. Yeah. Yep. Equalizer.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, did you feel at any point in the entire movie that Denzel was in any kind of danger?
No, but you know what would be interesting would be if the Equalizer 3 was played by Sean Bean.
Oh, yes.
Because then you'd have no idea.
Yeah. You really would be on the edge of your seat.
Is it going to be the intro slaughter?
Yeah.
Or when is he going to lose the head? You know, seriously. Yeah. Anyway. Look, I found this entertaining. I know it's by the numbers. It's a leave your brain at the door one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still give it a 6.
Okay. I'm struggling. You know, I know it's just a filler movie to get you through the last dregs of the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
But still, they could have made a better effort. I'm just going to give it a 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark, Innocence.
Well, of course, before we go into Innocence, can I just ask one final question? I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you guys.
Oh, yeah, totally.
does he do the stopwatch thing in this film?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
For no apparent reason. Really explained why the watch is invoked.
But it's obviously just so that he appears cool.
Yeah.
It is.
And nothing annoys me more when they very obviously try to manipulate you into thinking that someone is cool.
Yeah.
They had a similar... go on.
That needs to be done through the actions of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as someone says, I'm cool, haven't I? They're not.
Yeah.
They have this little quirk thing going on.
Yeah.
They're the same in Mile 22, and it just got really fucking annoying after a while.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg had an elastic band.
That's right. He kept flicking the band
around his wrist. And it was something to do with his childhood or something. Mm-hmm. But every now and again, he'd just pull it out and let it go. And you're just going. And they'd use it to change scene. It was literally like, you know, the clapperboard.
Yeah.
But it's just so stupid. You're just like, Jesus.
Yeah. Another irritating one that comes to mind was, do you remember The Strain?
Yeah.
The doctor in that had his stupid give me a yogurt or whatever thing in the first episode, and thankfully they got rid of that as time went on. Somebody took them to one side and said, sort your shit out. But Mark, this is one of the great unsolved mysteries of the universe. Is why
modern cinema?
Why he needs to time his periods of violence? Maybe he's only got 30 seconds of violence in him.
I can't even remember. Dude, they never showed us what time it was, did they?
Notice one of them finishing at 29 seconds.
Yeah.
So maybe,
but it wasn't every time, was it?
I'd have to rewatch it.
It was insignificant, really. Yeah. You know, but it was just annoying. Yeah.
You know, maybe if he had been through a Jason Bourne program and they had, you know, scientifically limited his adrenaline, so he only had 30 seconds of violence in him.
Yeah.
That would kind of make sense, but they never...
You just have to ride the wave.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, what would you do if someone was sort of in a bar giving you hassle and you set a stopwatch going?
You just don't need to be all that impressed. Like,
no, you start flicking the elastic band around your wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd probably just ring Mark and say, could you come here and sort this shit out for me?
Right, Mark.
What was the name of the Denzel Washington film that had fire in the title? It's something about he was a man on fire.
Yeah.
So that's an example of how Denzel can create a really fucking cool character without any contrivances.
Mm. Wasn't that the one where he's the bodyguard down in Mexico?
Yeah.
And
he's a bodyguard for a wee girl, like.
Yeah. And he...
Oh, yeah.
yeah, he kind of oversteps the mark on professional detachment.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Significant.
She was a very pretty little girl. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh dear.
Oh, look at Mark's face. I think he's sucking a wasp.
Oh dear. But no, it's just, I think that's a good example of the same actor who shows in that he's able to do it with a bit of good character writing.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't get that. He must have been shaking his head reading this.
Yeah, yeah. You know? One of the ones I always liked over the years from him was Training Day.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's classic Denzel, and a similar kind of role. You know, he's in the underworld. He's got skills.
It's a dad role.
Yeah,
he's good at dad roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
A mentor.
So do you want to hear about The Innocents, Steve?
Not really, but go on. Joking, go on.
Did I take this one for the team? Was I the only
you
one
did,
that saw
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you did, yeah. We both attempted it.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Yeah. The
Right, so...
The spirit is willing, but the body is... Yeah, the flesh is weak.
All right. Think back to your childhood, right? To your worst days of your childhood. Because everyone has a couple of bad days, I can remember. Mm.
Yes, now, I remember the Russians rolling into Berlin.
Were 10 times worse. And... I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
So, see, you just ruined the impact of my dramatic intro. Why the fuck do I bother practicing my little monologues into the mirror? Yeah, yeah. Throwing my smouldering looks.
Driving home in the car. How is it?
Hey, man, we had 10 divisions of 14-year-olds facing off against the Red Army. It wasn't funny, I'll tell you.
So anyway,
yeah.
Imagine two kids or teenagers who are having a really, really bad childhood or teenagerhood. And they somehow manage to connect. It's not explained in the first episode, so I don't know, but they connect with each other. They have a relationship that's largely secret, and then they decide to basically run away to be together. They run away from their lives. So when they do... So that's the plot, basically.
Right.
Right. And then it's a young adult supernatural drama, basically.
Right.
So, first of all, I have to make a very formal complaint about Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is very eager for you to watch its shows. So when it releases something new, it sticks a panel up at the top when you go into it.
Yeah.
That automatically starts playing a trailer.
Okay.
So if you're not careful, you're going to wind up seeing a trailer that maybe you wouldn't have watched.
Yes.
And particularly for me, when I'm, you know, put The Innocents on the list, I'm going to review it, I definitely wouldn't have watched the trailer. So in the trailer, Genius. It very clearly shows, right, that the boy and the girl protagonists wind up in a scenario where the boy is in this motel room on his own, and this older guy kind of barges in and grabs him, and there's a bit of a scuffle. And then he says, wait, look, it's me. And the boy looks in the mirror, and in the reflection of the person that's holding him is actually his girlfriend.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if I explained that well
yes,
enough to understand what I mean.
I was following it.
Mm-hmm.
So that scene being in the trailer means that you've no real fucking reason to watch the first episode, because that's all that happens.
Yeah.
And it really, really annoyed me, because... Like one of the enjoyable things to do with a decent bit of TV is to try and figure out what's going on
mm-hmm.
or what's happening. Like, and one of the questions I would have had if I didn't already fucking know what was about to happen at the end of the episode mm-hmm. was, how is this supernatural? Mm-hmm. This just seems like a whole load of misery and misfortune and pulling and dragging and tearing and suffering.
Yeah.
So, but in the back of my mind, and then I remembered, unfortunately, what the guy that the girl transformed into looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came on scene, I went, right, well.
There she is.
Yep.
You know, there's no fucking surprises here. Now, and what makes it worse is they have a scene, I can't remember, was it in the middle or at the start, that kind of teases the supernatural element, which was a good teaser. So if you didn't already know what the fuck was going on because you've seen the trailer that spoils too much,
mm-hmm.
you'd have hit this scene and gone, oh, jeekers, I wonder. You know, But I was fucking robbed by autoplay trailers on Netflix of all of that wonderment. So let's get to the actual fucking show itself, right? That was my main fucking beef with all of this.
Can I just stop you there for a sec, Mark? For me, what was the most supernatural aspect of it was that they somehow managed to find a motel in Yorkshire.
Oh, really? Well, that's one of those things where...
In Yorkshire. And it wasn't a Holiday Inn or one of those...
No, I mean, Yorkshire's full of hotels, but...
Yeah,
you're kind of classic American...
Oh, really? You drive up to the door once?
Yeah, and what? You're...
Neon sign, the whole nine, yeah.
Yeah.
In Yorkshire, this is set in the UK.
But look, it obviously doesn't exist in the real world, but we're living in a world now where everyone understands American... Iconery, basically.
Yeah.
Is that a word, iconery?
It is now.
Americana.
You'll be in the Oxford English Dictionary for 2018.
Anyway, look, I'm so used to that kind of shit happening now. Because, like, you have to pander to the American audience. Mm. Because if you do, everyone has seen American TV, so they know what you're talking about. They get it, like.
Yeah.
And that's what that was. But I didn't even notice till you said, Mike, that, by the way, there's no fucking motels in Yorkshire.
What would it have been like?
Huh?
Would it have been like a B&B?
Yeah.
On the side of the A320.
Exactly, know, Or as you say, a Holiday Inn. A Holiday Inn. You know, with, is it Leslie Keith does the ads?
A little chef.
Yeah.
So look at what was good about it. They were trying to paint these two separate... basically horrible existences for the protagonist, for the boy and the girl.
Yeah.
For June, I said you should use their names, I suppose. Mm-hmm. June, what was the fella called? I'm going to look it up now. June and Harry. So June and Harry have really shit lives for different reasons. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of that. I was pretty miserable watching it, and I was the whole time going, oh, Jesus Christ. And the question isn't why do they run? The question is, why haven't they run already?
Mm-hmm.
And they do layer... various kind of unanswered questions about their upbringings through the establishment. So you're kind of wondering about them all. And this is, again, I don't want to harp on the trailer thing, but there was a lot of things that you could keep your mind occupied trying to figure out if you were so inclined.
Yeah.
I thought the supporting cast was very strong. I think the two themselves are so-so, but they haven't really had a chance to get going yet. Their relationship thing doesn't strike me as very believable.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the best thing about the show. I think the support cast are far better.
Yeah.
The setting is really good, apart from what Mike has pointed out about the lack of motels.
Yeah.
But I think the pathetic fallacy there is really, really strong, and it all contributes to just complete fucking misery.
Yeah.
And that was what they were going for, and they achieved it. I thought that was good. I don't think I'll ever watch another episode of this because there was a lack of surprise in this transformation. And I don't know that I really give a shit about either of them.
Yeah.
And how they get on.
I'm actually surprised you haven't mentioned it yet, Mark, but there was, like, if you compare this with its supposed peers, like say Buffy or other young adult stuff, there's a distinct lack of good-looking people in it.
I guess I've just grown as a human.
I would have thought that would be your first reaction to the show. This is far too ungood-looking for me to watch.
People are just people. It doesn't matter what they look like. It's what's inside.
Can you mark this down in the diary, Steve? The diary, the logs of is it a bicycle archives? The day Mark grew up.
I've just realised that I didn't fucking even notice that they were fairly poor in this. But anyway, but go on, Mike. What did you think apart from that?
Do you know, like, apart from the motel thing, I didn't quite understand it. Maybe. Because you were willing to give it more of a chance. Why did they have to swap notes instead of just sending
texts?
One of the questions. Like, are they the only kids in the UK that don't have smartphones?
Well, her phone is carefully controlled. She gets the phone when the dad drops her off at school.
Oh, okay, I didn't pick up on that. Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected. Yeah. So there is a decent reason for that. That's okay. score one for the show.
But that was the other thing, though. So then you're wondering, goes, well, why is he keeping such a close eye on her? Because a teenager having their dad walk them to their locker at school, mm-hmm. that's mortifying. Like,
well, if I had a daughter that age, she fucking wouldn't see the light of day. Like, because I've grown up knowing people like Steve and Mark. They're out there.
But I take your point, Mike, but you can still see mine, I'm sure. Yeah. No teenage girl wants her dad accompanying her that deep into school, and no dad would. You drop them at the gates and you have your job done, right?
Yeah.
But he walked her to her locker and stood there while she got shit out and then left. So you're going, right, what's the deal? And he was there right at the gates and waiting for her to come out. Like.
Yeah.
So you go, why is he keeping such a close eye on her? Like, and I'm sure that'll be revealed. And like, it really annoys me because potentially I might have liked this show if I'd been left to fucking guess at it while I was watching it. But anyway.
Mr. Guy.
Guy Pearce is in it, that's right.
How did they afford him?
He's down on his luck.
Oh, right. Hasn't been a great year for him. Maybe he was just passing through. He thought it was another show.
You have to wonder how much they're paying for this.
I take it he doesn't come cheap.
You'd imagine that. He's 73 acting credits.
Yeah. And he's normally a big screen kind of a person, so they're used to extra zeros on their paychecks and mind you, it's probably not a problem for Netflix these days. They just throw money at projects and
trying to pull in a new demographic for himself. His new movies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He hasn't done much of any note. The last thing I remember him from was Lockout. Do you remember that hilarious movie?
Yeah. You know what we need to do? We need to get him on the show to explain himself.
Be sure, Jim. Get on that, Mike, will you?
Yeah, I'm all over it.
So, what did you think, Mike? Is he going to watch more?
No, not a chance. You had me at young adult.
So it's two fillers.
I don't know, Steve, could you imagine yourself, I think there's 8 episodes in the series, could you imagine putting yourself through 8 hours of this?
No. No, I tried 8 minutes. I didn't make it.
Well, I regret that I watched it. Like, I feel cheated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a civil action to get that time back.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on. Second of our movies was Upgrade. Now, I'm not going to talk about anything that's not in the trailer.
First of all, Steve, where did you find this?
Oh, I like sci-fi.
Well, I can give you a clue, Michael. It's from the Western Hemisphere, because if it was from the Eastern, it would have been called Upgradation.
Ba-doom.
So, this is set in the near future. Well, it's supposed to be near future, but it's a bit further than the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very techie. The world is very techie and it controls all aspects of life and so on. And there's a guy, he has an accident and he's given the opportunity for technology to fix him because he's quadriplegic. He takes that chance and it's sort of like a, what would you say? Is it a Google? No, is it an Elon Musk or is it, it's some dude who's, big into his technology and has a load of cash.
Yeah.
And he's come up with this
fixy thing.
Technology. yeah. This technology. And he needs a guinea pig, essentially. Mm-hmm. So he bumps into Mr. Man, who's had an accident, and says, here, I think I can fix you if you want to go. And he takes him up on the offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so then comes the tale of revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it by accident that you kind of went a bit Stewie Griffey on the way you'd like to be fixed up?
This has got the most hilarious violence that I have seen in a long time.
Oh.
It's just so unexpected. You know, because he's got this technology that helps him, that this technology essentially it's after fixing his quadriplegism, and it can sort of he discovers take over.
Point of order, it's probably offensive these days to use the term fix in terms of disability.
Feckin' snowflake.
I just putting it out there, you know. some people could be offended.
He had something broken and it fixed it. Where's the problem?
Welcome to the 21st century, Steve. Your thoughts are ours.
Yeah, tweet me at Is It a Bicycle. We'll have a further discussion on the matter. So, anywho, hashtag Mike's an SJW. So, anyway, he's able to hand it over to. The violence. Did you not think it was unexpected and hilarious? Because there's bits like that. That are a bit ooey.
Yeah.
And that's how he's reacting to his body doing stuff. Yeah. And he's like, oh, Jesus. You know.
Yeah, it did. I don't know. It kind of didn't work for me.
No.
No. Because I was expecting it to be a serious movie.
All right. Yeah.
And then they start going very sort of lighthearted, whatever.
Yeah. But only in parts, you know. Then it goes serious again.
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
it wasn't consistent.
Yeah.
You know, had they set out their stall from the beginning,
yeah,
that you know this is a piss take.
Yeah,
we're having the crack with this.
Yeah,
I think I would have accepted it more.
Yeah,
but it felt disjointed to me because you know, 1 minute is kind of these cartoon violence, and then next minute it's like, oh, I'm supposed to feel sorry for you now. You know, I just don't have the mental agility to cope with.
It was a bit of a mix. Like, you're like, oh God, my heart's broken for him.
Yeah.
And then you're just dying laughing at him, you know, breaking someone's arm.
Yeah.
You know,
It reminded me a little bit in look and feel of Herbert West Reanimator. Do you remember that dreadful Lovecraft?
No.
Oh, it's probably 20 years old now. They basically took a H.P. Lovecraft story, made a movie of it, but comedized it.
All right.
And part of it was this over-the-top violence.
All right.
And, you know, blood gushing all over the place. Okay, whatever. Okay. But like that, it wasn't a balanced enough movie to work.
Okay.
You know, in this as well, your man, the lead character, he's kind of, what's it, you know, he's very sort of alpha male to start with.
Yeah.
And then he totally beta-izes himself, you know, he's not solving the problem.
Right.
Which sort of leaves me wondering why he's the lead character.
Okay.
You know, he's becoming a victim, and there's no real escaping from the scenario he's in.
Yeah.
And he's not making much of an effort to do it either.
Yeah, I know, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's sort of watching it, I don't know, at times it was like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, at times it was... I don't know, reminded me of Transformers.
Okay.
Because, you know, at the start, you see him working on like a 70s American muscle car. The missus comes home in a completely automated car. You know that he's just, you know, he's got that Mark Wahlberg look about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dirty t-shirt from crawling underneath the car. You know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And then it just takes off in a bizarre, like that, like I was saying, the Blade Runner-y type scenario. I found it very entertaining, but like you say, a little bit disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
For what they did with it, it wasn't a massive budget, I'd imagine.
No, I'd say 2 halfpence and a shilling rubbed together, you know.
But you know what? I think Mark would like this.
He might. Mm. He might. Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the tagline.
Oh, yeah.
Not man. Not machine, more.
Yeah.
I think they could have made more of the sexy evil genius figure in the background. You know, I suppose he's meant to be some kind of comedic version of Elon Musk or something, you know, where everything goes to shit on him. But he's not given enough screen time to become a really good character. I think the potential was there to make something great there, but they just kind of dropped it. It was kind of...
Yeah,
I don't know if his day rate was too expensive, but it's like, yeah, you're only getting...
Well, they only had a $5 million budget.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking. $5 million? I could do a lot of things with that money.
Yeah.
But for a movie, that's quite low.
Wow. Well, actually, then the more I think about it, it's quite impressive.
Yeah.
That they actually did that for $5 million. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts, actually. Mm. Because it looks like a big production.
Mm-hmm.
But at times, it wasn't the sets that let it down. I think it was more bits of writing in there and a couple of the side characters. You're
But it does seem like every time they put a self-driving car in a movie, I become less and less inclined to ever trust my life to a self-driving car.
But if you're basing it on this movie or on, what's the one with Schwarzenegger up in Mars?
Oh, yeah, the
mining one.
Yeah,
swap the memories one. What's it called? Total Recall.
Total Recall. Just self-driving cars shouldn't exist.
I think you'd like this, Mark. I mean, the character is very, very likable. Actually, you know, the whole feel of it reminds me of that TV show that we watched a couple of years back, where a guy would take a drug, a pill, and he would be able to do things really fast and really well. Do you remember that? You went working in
office. It was after the movie with
the same,
what's his name,
Limitless.
That's it.
Nice one, Mike. Yeah, it reminds me very much of that.
And
I was a fan of Limitless for a while, actually, but I think you'd like this. Interested to hear your take. I'm going to give this a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a lot more generous than I am this week.
Yeah, no, I liked it. And look, the stuff that I was talking about that was funny, it just really made it for me.
Yeah.
Because I'll talk about it later, afterwards. But I just thought some of the stuff was just brilliant.
It was a bit of a swing and a miss for me. I'm going to give this a 4, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
A 4. All right. Succession.
Oh, that's other stuff we saw.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Strange to do this at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Tell us, Mike. No, I didn't want to miss out on this. I want to know.
This is... Do you remember Brian Cox? He's been a kind of a extra actor in so many things, from The Bourne Identity to...
X-Men.
X-Men to fucking Rob Roy. He's always in the background. So basically, he is, I suppose you could call him a Rupert Murdoch sort of a figure. He's got this media empire spanning the globe, and he's getting on a little bit. So it's getting towards the time of life when you start to want to slow things down and maybe pass on the baton to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
His problem is that all of his offspring are fuckwits. he can't make a decision on what to do with all these riches, because there's nobody even vaguely competent to take over afterwards.
Okay.
So he's got one son who's he's a go-getter. He's trying his little heart out, but he's just a fucking loser. That he's got another sort of semi-legitimate sort of thing.
He has a semi.
this kind of not talked about child that is basically a fucking weed head.
Is that the small child?
No.
As opposed to the big child. No, I mean physically.
No, he's normal size.
Okay, you know, because one of the kids is Kieran Culkin, as in Macaulay's.
No way.
Brother, yeah.
No, I didn't know that. this guy is just, like, he's kind of getting fired from every job he's ever been in, kind of thing. And,
okay.
You know, you wouldn't trust him with the fucking Supermax order, not mine. Not mine, the multi-billion dollar company. Yeah, yeah. So it's a good idea, but it, for me, it really struggled again with pacing. They spent too much time telling you the same thing over and over. You know, we get it, they're fuck-ups. Now what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, you know, spending 7, 8, 9 minutes on scenes that should be 45 seconds, you know. Which is an awful shame. Because they end up, like, not giving Brian Cox a lot of screen time when, you know, he's by far and away the best actor on the project. So it doesn't make me a lot of sense. You
okay,
know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed with it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll pick up as the series goes on, but I don't know if I'm willing to put in any more time into it.
Okay.
It's an awful shame.
Awful shame.
Yeah.
Filthy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, have you anything else you want to talk about?
The Night Watchman.
Oh, yeah?
It's easy to know why he's been on holidays.
Right.
This is a bunch of fucking loser fucking night security guards in a busy office. And basically, Bobo the Clown goes to Romania, gets turned into a vampire, and these... these delivery guys can't get him to the morgue in time, so they dump him off at this office building in return for a bag of weed. And of course, Bobo the Clown gets out and starts fucking eating people. And, he works his way through the building, and obviously, it's an infected story. And these security guards, I think one of them's an ex-Marine, and the rest of them can't tie their own shoelaces. So, it's fairly standard fare, but it's quite entertaining in a very, very B-movie sort of way.
Mike kind of way.
Yeah. Okay. But they're kind of vampire zombies, if that makes sense. Vampire clown zombies.
You sure pick them.
Yeah. Wow. I'd be surprised if there was anything close to $5 million spent on this movie. But, it passed an hour and a half quite pleasantly. Yeah. Probably more so than The Equalizer 2.
Did you hear Sharknado 6 is out?
I have it on my watch list.
Was it called The Last One?
Yeah.
With a tagline of, it's about time.
Yeah. I actually have 5 and 6. On the favorites list, ready to go this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'll report back to you next week on the end of the Sharknado saga.
Oh God!
Do you know, I had forgotten actually that the main character is called Finn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I know.
It's just so crap.
So ridiculous. Yeah. It's a modern day airplane, but not as good. Right. Leave it there.
Okay.
Cool. All right, till next week. See us. He's going to be very
classy.
Yeah, it's the latest. Stay classy. No, go on. Go on, stay classy.
Go on.
Have a cup of tea, Father. Yeah.